In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God. Amen. Blessed sixth Sunday of Lent. Sixth and final Sunday. And it's one of those times when we look and we look to the journey that happened throughout Lent and how fast it went for some. Or how it feels like it flew by. In the sense that this is a journey of transformation, that the church is leading us to the cross and to ultimately our Lord's resurrection. And so when we look at this gospel, we kind of have to ask a couple of questions. The first thing is kind of from an analytical perspective. We see this gospel placed here on the final Sunday of Lent. Why? Why would the church was very specific in how it arranged all the readings. We kind of start with little, like some tools, how to truly benefit in Lent, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, the Sermon on the Mount. And then it continues all the way till today. And if you notice, the intensity of God's work is shown through all the time of Lent. So I'll give you an example. If you look at this gospel, you see, and I counted, 16 questions. 16 questions are asked in this gospel. The first one even happened before the miracle happened, where they see a man born blind and they ask. And they ask a very interesting question. They said, why is this man born blind? Like, who sinned? What made this happen? What created this problem? And from that question until the final question, we have to figure out where we fall in line. Because one of the most important questions in this is the question by our Lord. When he went to see the man after he was healed, he went, and this man at this point has gone through a trial. Every single person that sees him, the Pharisees, the people, they all ask him so many questions. And then finally, our Lord asked him a question. And this is the question that I want to ask ourselves. It says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Christ started with healing the physical eyes. He created eyes out of nothing. There was nothing there. And like I said earlier, you can kind of notice the intensity in our Lord's miracles. And I use that word on purpose. Because we kind of see, let's say from the Samaritan woman. This woman was a woman kind of lost. A woman that was unsure of which way to go. And our Lord met her and kind of led her to where she belongs. And her life was changed by a conversation. By a conversation. That's all it took. And then we see the following week, a man that was born just fine, but paralyzed for 38 years. The fathers are very specific and says that because the Gospels say that he was paralyzed for 38 years, we can't assume he was born that way. Because for the man born blind, that's a clear, like it's very specific that he was born without eyes. So here, a man that is paralyzed for 38 years, we see that Christ came, went to him, met him, and changed his whole life, raised him up, gave him life-giving words, allowed him to work with Christ for his life to be changed. And then we see this week's gospel, where a man is born blind Do you think this man at any point had any belief or hope that he could see again? I don't think so. Like the man paralyzed was sitting by the pool of Siloam, or the pool of Bethesda, where he was waiting to be healed. And so when Christ said, "Do you want to be made well?" He said, "I have nobody to push me in." He wanted to be healed. And that's why when Christ asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, there's no one to take me. Like, of course I want to be made well. Like, obviously." But here, this man didn't even know that there was an option. There was no, like, you look at this situation, it was an impossible situation. It was a hopeless situation. It was a situation that did not ever in the history of the world have a solution. There was never a time where he can be like, "Oh, I want to be like that blind man back then that was healed, that I heard a story about." It never existed. There was nothing to compare it to. So when we look at this story, we see an impossibility. And so our Lord goes to this man and heals him from this blindness, this physical blindness, creates eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool, creates mud, spits in the ground, creates mud, puts it in his eyes, creates eyes out of nowhere, and tells him to go. And that would have been an amazing, amazing story and an amazing transformation and a story that we would talk about forever. But that's not what this gospel is only about. Because all of that happens way early. In the first few verses, that's when the miracle actually happens. So what is this gospel really about? This gospel is realizing that within our hopelessness, within our sins, our struggles, our problems, a time where we feel like there is no solution, there is no way. I've thought of everything. I've used ChatGPT. They don't even have an answer. There's no answer to this problem. There's nothing I can do to get this answer. And Christ says, "That's easy. That's the easy part. You want eyes out of nowhere? I was there from the beginning. That's easy. First couple of verses, here you go. Here, you want eyes? Here. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here for the physical eyes. I'm not here for the physical eyes." And sometimes this is where we fall short with Christ. Where we start asking him or talking to him about our physical problems, our worldly problems. "God, I need more X. God, I need more of this. I need more of that. I need help with this. God, I'm struggling with this. Help me with this." It's all physical, all worldly. And Christ says, "No, no, no." After he healed him, the man went through, like I said, the trials and tribulations. He went through every question. And the questions were ridiculous because they were repeated. The people were asking him, like, "Weren't you blind? Like, how did this happen?" He's like, "I don't know. This man came, told me to go wash, and I wash, and now I see." And they would ask him again, and they would ask people around him, "Isn't this the guy?" He's like, "Listen, I can only tell you what happened." But the real question we need to focus on is, do you believe in the Son of God? I believe that this gospel was placed here as the last Sunday of Lent on purpose. This whole journey that we took from February 23rd, 24th, I forget, until now, which way are we going? Which direction are we going? If you notice blindness, there is no option. I'm not talking about like seeing something a little bit like blurry. And I'm talking about like this man, it was either he sees or he doesn't see. He had no eyes. This gospel is kind of like a fork in the road. And he puts in front of us this blind man, and he puts in front of us the Pharisees. He says, okay, I'm going to level the playing field here. They both physically see now. They both physically see. The Pharisees physically see. This man now physically sees. But which way are we going? What truly do we see? Do I look through my physical eyes or do I look through my spiritual eyes? Do I believe in the Son of Man? Do I believe in the transformation? In seeing Christ? The most beautiful thing here is this man, after everything that he went through, imagine all the things he wants to see now, that he heard about, that he could have just went and saw. But instead, the first thing he went to the temple. He went to worship. He went to worship God, presumably to thank him. But he didn't even know who he was until Christ approached him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And you look at the response. He says, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said to him, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? I want to believe. We're standing here. We live in this world. We want to believe. No one would be here at church today if you don't believe. No one is going to wake up early on a Sunday morning. No one. We're here because we want to believe. And we answer just like this blind man. Who is he that I might believe in him? And the Lord says to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. This transformation of this man shows us the potential of our own transformation. Yes, God can do many miracles in our life. But that's not even the biggest miracle Christ wants for us. The miracle that he is reaching for us this whole time, our whole life since we were born, is to transform us, is to make us new, is to allow us to see like he sees. How did Christ see the world? God became man. He took on our need. He was 100% human. How was his vision? Not his physical vision, his spiritual vision. How does God see? Does he see people and then judge them? Or does he see the good in people? It's easy to judge people. It's so easy. But it's much harder to see the good. Just like we saw in the Samaritan woman story. Christ didn't go and just tell her, how could you do this? How could you do this? How could you do this? He told her, oh, you're so honest. Truly you said that you're not living in the right way. That's great. Like you're on the right path. Instead, many of us would look at all the sins and list them and point out all the sins that she has committed. But Christ sees from a different perspective. Our Lord creates eyes that don't exist. But sometimes we need the spiritual eyes that don't exist. And this is not, it's not a one-time thing. Like the physical miracle here, that was instant. Next Saturday we're going to see the raising of Lazarus, instant. Paralytic man, instant. The spiritual transformation is a process. This process starts when we were washed ourselves in the waters of baptism. That's when our process started. Our process started when we were baptized. We entered, we put We use that water, just like this man started his spiritual process using the pool of Siloam, we used the pool of our baptismal font. And so through that, there's a transformation. And the gospel is beautiful in showing us his transformation. He calls him a man. He calls him a prophet. Then he calls him a man of God. And then he calls him the son of God. He calls him all of these things. There's a transformation. There's a process in his spiritual life. We have to ask ourselves, where are we in the process? Do we look at Christ as a really good person, morally? There's no one who can actually reject that. Find anyone from any religion. No one's going to say Christ is a bad person. They're going to say, morally, he's amazing. Like, he's a standard. He's great. He didn't do anything to upset anybody. He was... But that's not where... Sometimes that's what non-believers think. Is he a prophet? Someone who shared really nice words, words of God? He's more than that. Is he a man of God? Is he like something spiritual? Like he's really amazing. Like there's something different about him. Yes, but that's incomplete. And then finally, is he the son of God? This is where he ends up with. He is the son of God. He is the son of God. His life changes when he said he is the son of God. I like to imagine this man, his life being completely transformed, that he is no longer the same guy that all these people met. He became a saint. He became a person who lived a life that was pleasing to God, not caring about only his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. So how do we work on our spiritual sight? The first thing is understanding that our spiritual sight comes from God. We can't get our spiritual sight. He's the illuminator. We can't receive spiritual sight from anywhere else. And that requires us to go to him. He's the light. He is the light. Spending more time in prayer. Spending more time in reading. Spending more time in the sacraments. The second thing is obedience to God. We want to say that we see spiritually, that we have to obey him. This man obeyed. He could have said, this is ridiculous. You just spat on the floor and you put mud in my eyes and you want me to go walk. It's not easy for him to walk, right? He's blind. This makes zero sense. This man could have said, thanks, but no thanks. Leave me alone. I'm okay. But instead, he said, okay. He obeyed. God tells us things to do through different ways. God can use our families. God can use our fathers of confession. People that we respect and trust. Our friends. To guide us and to give us God's word. But we need to obey. Are there things in our life that we need to cut off? Are there things in our life that we need to wash off? Are there things in our life that we need to do in order for us to take our spiritual life serious? And lastly, do we worship him? The last thing he says to him, when he said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is he? That I may believe in him. He says, you have both seen him. And it is he who's talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. If you believe, you worship. If you believe, you worship. Now, worship is not just, okay, what time is liturgy? I need to go to liturgy. But worship is a lifestyle. That in everything we do, we are united to God. In our prayers, in our conversations, in how we handle friendships, in how we make decisions, is what we are doing pleasing to God or not? So as we go through these next couple of weeks, next week, Palm Sunday, following week, Resurrection, throughout Holy Week, that we truly work on our spiritual sight. Let's look at things a little bit differently in these next 2 weeks. Because that's why the gospel was placed here. Let's not look at the ingredients for these next 2 weeks. Let's not focus on the food. Let's not focus on the long days. Let's just focus on Him. Let's work on our spiritual sight. Let's see what we need to do in order to remove the obstacles so we can spiritually see clearly. And glory be to God forever. Amen.